Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Still time here in the remainder of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon for a few of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. This is the line that we leave open 24/7 for our listeners. Anytime they're listening, any place they listen, they can join the conversation via the comment line. You may have heard something that we broadcast weeks ago, but you want to say something, you want to add something, you have a question, you even have a show suggestion. We get great show suggestions from our listeners via the comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. 8382. That's the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Let's begin with a question about our interviews on law gospel reductionism.
I'm Bob calling from Canada. I really enjoy your Issues Etc. show. I wish I would have found it years ago. I was listening to Dr. Joel Bierman the other day on his law gospel reductionism. I'm having a little trouble. Maybe you could give me a little bit of clarification of the differences or the similarities between law gospel reductionism and antinomianism. Just having a little trouble with that. Thank you.
That's a very, very good question. They're intimately related to one another. Law gospel reductionism is, strictly speaking, taking, generally speaking, it is taking the idea of law and gospel and making it not just the way that we read scripture, but the way all theology is done. Now, that's, you say that sounds like a great idea, but it isn't a great idea. Law and gospel is the language that God speaks. So when we read scripture, we need to listen for his word of law and his word of gospel. But not all things are done by law and gospel. Good preaching is, good teaching is. But not all things, not all theology is done in law and gospel. So it's kind of reducing everything that Scripture has to say to nothing more than law and gospel. That's why it's called law gospel reductionism. Usually it's called gospel reductionism as a shorthand because it takes it a step further. It actually eventually dispenses with the law altogether. And it says the only thing that really matters in Scripture at all is the gospel. And if it isn't the gospel, it's not relevant, or it might even be bad for us. It's ultimately leads to a rejection of God's law. It's gradual. It's very gradual. It usually begins with a rejection of the third use of the law, that is the instructive use of the law that is meant only for Christians. It rejects that. Christians don't need the law. They just live from the gospel. And then it will slowly but surely, sometimes unwittingly, sometimes without even knowing it, reject the other uses of the law as well. First use of the law? What are you talking about? A rejection of natural law and things like that. And eventually it will even reject the second use of the law, so that we hear things like it's the gospel that brings someone to repentance. The classic antinomians of Luther's day did precisely this. They said the law, its only place is in the courthouse, not in the church at all, not in its first, second, or third use. So that's the relationship of law gospel reductionism to antinomianism. They're related to one another. They're not exactly the same thing. I would say this, that law gospel reductionism, it's pretty complicated stuff, but if it's allowed to go its own way and to set its course, will end up in antinomianism, either a partial or, you'd be surprised how often it is, a complete rejection of God's law. And you know what? The gospel doesn't make any sense without the law. Not at all. In fact, I've written a journal article on this, both in the last journal and in this journal, Myths About the Law. Is the law bad? And I've also just written the first part of an essay called Better Than Good on Myths About the Gospel, trying to explore that very issue and that very question that you ask. Very much, very much needed now, especially in Lutheran circles. Oh, by the way, if you go to the right-hand column of our website, issuesetc.org, you can subscribe to the journal, and you can also find back issues of the journal at our website under the subscriptions page. There's a big red button. Click it, enter your email address, and you get the Issues Etc. journal absolutely free. We will send it to you online, issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Jeff from Fort Wayne. I was just listening to the interview with Jonathan Fisk on the morality of WikiLeaks, and I guess I have a few questions, and I think that Terry Mattingly might also be a good one to ask, but there are special protections given to the media, to the press, in terms of protections against slander and such. And I don't know if that goes to information gathering as well. We say that WikiLeaks should be doing the work that the mainstream press should be doing. At least that's what some are saying. My question is, what qualifies someone to be the free press or the free media? Does WikiLeaks have the same protection as, say, and what is different than NBC or CBS uncovering these stories about the emails or whatever it might be? What has to qualify that as an institution to be able to do those sorts of investigative things and also to publish what they find, especially in regard to matters that concern the public, as in confidential secrets and that are based on the country? Not personal, but actual things that have to do with the business of the country. So those are my questions, and thank you again for such a great job that Issues Etc. does, both questioning the Christian view of what is happening in the world today. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much. It's a great question. Now, I think Terry Mattingly is the guy to answer that question. In fact, we're planning to have a conversation with him on journalism, kind of the ethics of journalism, the wise consumption of media, both old and new. Here's part of the problem with WikiLeaks, just from my perspective, and that is the question of its morality isn't that it works hard to uncover the truth and that it exposes it in kind of a you can't stop us way. Because in that sense, it's not like journalism. Journalism should be highly regulated, self-regulating, by the way, and it does have special protections and should have special protections. But journalists pursue the truth without crossing those ethical or legal lines, and it's difficult to say that those lines weren't crossed in the case of WikiLeaks. But what do you do when the information is out there and it's already there? Well, the journalist is going to report on it. He isn't going to say, well, they stole this information to release it, so I can't cover it. They're going to go ahead and report on it anyway as a news story. The question for WikiLeaks is it right? Was it legal? I don't even know if there are laws that protect or that there have been laws that protect that kind of information. We talk about cyber hacking and cybersecurity. You wouldn't want your information stolen online. And that's essentially what WikiLeaks has done in some cases. It has hacked and stolen information, violated privacy. Has it had a big effect on our politics? There's no doubt about it. Is it going to stop anytime soon? No, it will not. We'll talk with Terry Mattingly about it. I think that's a great idea.
Hello, this is Beth. I'm calling from New Mexico. I'm one of your on-demand listeners, and I wanted to thank you for providing book reviews as part of your program. I just finished listening to an audiobook called House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman, which was recommended on your program. I loved it. And I, in fact, have purchased many of the books that you have reviewed and featured on Issues Etc. I just want to thank you again for that, and I hope you continue to offer that as part of your show. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. We were very pleased to be able to have a part in the recording of that audiobook, House of Living Stones, with Katie Schuerman. We've heard from people all over saying that they really enjoy the audiobook version of it as well. It's available, by the way, at Audible, where most people get their audiobooks, at iTunes, also at Amazon as well, House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman. That's actually the second of her books. She had The Choir Immortal, I believe, is one of those two books as well. And we had the opportunity to do the audiobook for Ladylike, Living Biblically. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jonathan and David. So much nonsense on Jonathan and David out there that hopefully we can clear that away and talk about what this relationship, this loving friendship, was really all about tomorrow on issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.